This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Rabbi Zidni on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning. We continue with our series on the Quran, which is titled Quran Gateway Series. Today we are moving on to part number 6, mashallah. And today we are discussing abrogation. To start off with the basics, the word nasakh means to abrogate or to cancel. مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. Allah says, at times we change the command, we bring in another command, and that command is better or equal to the one that was before that. The question that rises here, that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogate certain commands? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cancel certain commands? Like Allah gives you a command, and then afterwards Allah changes the command and gives you another command. The question rises here, why? Well, it's simple to understand. You'll find this in any regime. They'll issue a command, and after a certain period, they'll review that command and they'll issue another command. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must understand that when He issues a new command, it is not to suggest that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a mistake, na'udhu billah min dhalik, and thereafter Allah realized his mistake and so he changed the command. That's not the case. It's totally acceptable in any part of the world to review your policy and to change it. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah applied the same principle, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do so because out of an error, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the command to ease the situation for the people. For example, a doctor would also prescribe a certain tablet for you, a certain syrup for you, a certain, you know, routine for you. But after a while, when he sees that you are making improvements, you are doing better, alhamdulillah, they say, okay, now you don't need to take this any longer. I'll put you on a lighter dose and I'll give you a better prescript, inshallah. So now, you're not saying that a doctor made a mistake and he realized he made a mistake and so he's prescribing something new. That's not the case. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing is the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a command for a certain period, for a certain time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the command for the people to make it easier for them. And according to the time and according to the need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would change the command. So in the Quran also, there are certain verses which were revealed, and in those verses there were certain commands given. And then after a certain period, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed more verses. And those verses that came afterwards abrogated the verses that came prior to them. So now that you have a basic understanding, we can go into the discussion further. We must also understand that abrogation is not exclusive to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a common thing that occurred in the previous nations also. I'll give you a simple example, and it's mentioned in the Quran also. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam took to the throne and his family members came to Egypt, mashallah, and when they saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam on the throne, then the family members started prostrating in front of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And this was permissible in his Sharia. It was permissible for a person to bow down and to prostrate in front of another person other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But obviously this was done out of respect. And this was permissible in their Sharia. You come to the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a person cannot bow down to anyone, a person cannot prostrate in front of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is abrogation to show you that this is not only exclusive to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you look at the Sharia of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, who's also a Nabi of Allah, in his Sharia, a man could marry two sisters at the same time. It was permissible for him to keep two sisters in one union at the same time. There was nothing wrong in his Sharia. However, the Nabi that followed afterwards, it was not permissible in his Sharia. It was abrogated. A divorce was permissible in the Sharia of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and not permissible in another Nabi's time. So this tells you that this is not exclusive to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the important thing to understand is that abrogation does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erred and he realized his mistake and that's why he changed. That's not the case. Like in the case of the doctor would prescribe a certain medication, a certain script for a certain period of time, and afterwards the doctor would change the prescription altogether. That does not mean the doctor erred. So this is abrogation in a nutshell. Now, the next question is that if the verses are abrogated, then why are they still in the Quran? Because there are some verses in the Quran which are abrogated, which no longer apply. So why are they still in the Quran? The simple answer to that is that you're still getting reward for it. مَنْ قَرَى حَرْفًا مِّنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنَةً وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever reads a letter of the Quran will be credited with one reward. And one reward is multiplied by 10. So one letter gives you 10 rewards. So if a person is reciting a verse that's abrogated and that no longer applies in terms of its application, then too a person is not losing out on the reward factor. He's still getting reward for reading that verse. The third thing that you need to understand here is that the number of verses that are abrogated in the Quran. Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi mentions that there are about 19 verses that are abrogated in the Quran. Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi has done a closer study of this field and he says that there are only 5 verses that are abrogated. After closely studying, he says there are only 5 verses that are abrogated in the Quran. Let's go into some of the basic ones first and then we'll go into what Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi has to say. The simple one is the Qibla. For 16 months when the Muslims came to Medina, they were facing Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa. And then the command came to the Muslims to change the Qibla towards Makkah al-Mukarramah and Bayt al-Haram. And this abrogation came whilst the Muslims were still in Salah. And in Salah, they changed the direction. And today we have Masjid Qiblatain. When you go for Ziyarah, they show you this place and they tell you the history behind the place, why it's called Qiblatain, etc. So that's a simple one. We've all understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a command for a certain period of time and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the command and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the believers to face Makkatul Mukarramah. Now moving on to some of the other verses which Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi has touched on. For example, the first one that Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi discusses is that in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. In this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. It's compulsory for you that before you pass away you make a wasiyah, you bequest and you make out a will and you include in there your parents and your relatives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is compulsory for a believer to do so. Now let me give you some context to this verse. Previously, there were no prescribed shares in the Quran for the heirs. How much does a father get? How much does a mother get? How much does a brother get? How much does a sister get? How much do the children get? How much does a wife get? All these shares were not fixed. A person would use his own discretion, but it was compulsory for him to make that wasiyah before he passes away. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easier for the people. Allah made it easier for the people, and he brought in another verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَضِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. And the entire page goes on to speak about the shares of the inheritors, the shares of the heirs in the Quran. So in one verse Allah is saying it's compulsory for you to write down the will and to make a bequest for your parents and your relatives. If you don't do so, you'll be sinful. In another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says now it's no longer necessary. If a person did not make a wasiyah, if a person did not make a will, then too, he will not be sinful because Allah has already preordained, Allah has already fixed the shares of the heirs in the Quran. Allah has fixed the share of the son, the daughter, the mother, the father, the grandparents, and the relatives. Allah has already fixed their shares. So the second verse now abrogates the first verse. Can you see there? So the first verse was general. You must make a bequest and you must distribute your inheritance. The second one is, if you did not do so, not a problem at all. Allah has already taken care of that in the Quran. Another verse which Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali discusses under the chapter of Nasakh and abrogation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu harridhil mu'minina 'ala al-qital in yakum minkum 'ishruna sabiruna yaghlibu 200 wa in yakum minkum 100 yaghlibu 1000 min alladhina kafaru bi annahum qaumun la yafqahun. Allah says in the Quran that, oh you believers, if you are 20, you'll overpower 200. If you are 100, you will overpower 1,000. Now, apparently, there seems to be no difficulty in terms of understanding this verse. 20 will overpower 200. 100 will overpower 1,000. It just seems an informative verse. But that's not the case. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Muslims that whilst you're on the battlefield, and if your enemy happens to outnumber you by 10 times your number, by 10 times your number, you are 10 and there are 10 times that number. If you are 10 and there are 100, or if you are 20 and there are 200, it is not permissible for you to leave the battlefield. It is wrong. You'll be sinful. It's a major sin to leave the battlefield. So if you are 20 and there are 200, and if you are 100 and there are 1,000, you can't leave the battlefield. That's what this verse is saying. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse after that saying, أَهَلْآنَ خَفَّفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا فَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ 100 صَابِرَةٌ يَغْلِبُ 200 وَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ 1,000 يَغْلِبُ 2,000 بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. In the verse after that, Allah reveals that, okay, now we are changing the command. It's no longer 10 times the number. If you are on the battlefield, and if you are 100 and the enemy is 200, then you can't leave the battlefield. We're no longer saying 10 times. We're saying 2 times. That means half. If there are more than you by 2 folds, you cannot leave the battlefield. So if you are 50 and there are 100, and if you are 100 and there are 200, if you are 500 and there are 1,000, you cannot leave the battlefield. So Allah made it easier for the Muslims. Allah brought it down, and Allah brought it down from 10 to 2. No longer tenfold, but rather twofold. If your enemy outnumbers you by twofold, you cannot leave the battlefield. Yes, if the enemy outnumbers you more than twofold, if you are 100 and the enemy is 300 or 400, then you do have the option to leave the battlefield if you want to retreat tactfully. The option is there. So that's the second verse that Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali discusses under the chapter of Nasakh and abrogation. The third verse, which is abrogated, and which Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali also discusses, is the instruction where the Prophet of Allah is told, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qumi al-layla illa qaleela, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qaleela, aw zid alayhi wa rattil al-Qur'an tartila. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should stand up at night for tahajjud prayers, and he should stand up in tahajjud prayers at least half of the night. And this was obligatory on the Prophet of Allah. And afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed another verse in the same surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَيِ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارُ عَلِمَ أَنْ لَنْ تُحْصُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَاقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah goes on to speak in this verse that now we have made it easier for you and for your followers, O Nabi of Allah. You can stand quarter of the night, you can spend half of the night, you want to spend a little less, you want to spend a little more. It's up to your discretion. There's no restriction in terms of time. You don't have to spend at least half the night in ibadah, O Nabi of Allah. You can even do less than that if you wish and if you want to do so. So here is another classical example of abrogation. So we must understand, inshallah, that nasakh and abrogation does not insinuate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a mistake and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realized his error and so he changed the command. Na'udhu billah min dhalik, na'udhu billah min dhalik. That is not the understanding that a believer has with regards to abrogation. Rather, in a nutshell, and I'm going to end off on this, is that abrogation is part of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humans apply it in their day-to-day lives, but they do it differently, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do it differently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely does it to make life easier, number one. Number two, Allah brings in a better command for the believers in terms of their time and the need, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easier for them, like the case examples that we discussed earlier on. Nonetheless, this was part 6 of Quran Gateway series.